Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it is living and active, capable to accomplish within each one of us that which you would accomplish in that process of making us more like your Son. And so we pray, Lord, that you, by your Spirit, would give each one of us today ears to hear, minds to understand, and hearts to receive your truth this morning, that you would be honored and glorified. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, just for our guests, we are continuing our Eastertide series that's looking at how we can come alive this Easter season, how we can accept Jesus' invitation to the better life. As we read in 2 Corinthians 5:17, Jesus included everyone in his death so everyone could be included in his life, a far better life than people lived on their own. And that last bit is key for me, a far better life than people lived on their own. Now, I don't think anyone here this morning would disagree with me that if COVID has taught us anything, it's that we don't have as much control over our lives as we would like to think. And at the end of the day, we're not as secure as we like to think. However, I would argue that this is true whether we're in the midst of a global pandemic or not. Right? It is a sad reality that much of life happens unexpectedly, right? Out of left field, unplanned for, unprepared for. And this uncertainty can leave us feeling insecure and unsafe. What unexpected things have come into your life recently? Now, thankfully, in the midst of all of the uncertainty that we can experience in this world, God promises to be our security. He promises to be our safety and protection. As we read in Proverbs 18, verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly run to him and are safe. No matter what's happening around us or in us, we can find safety and security in God. I think the truth of this is wonderfully depicted in the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, for much of their history, the ancient Hebrews were nomadic people, you know, wandering from place to place, seeking pastures for their flock of sheep and goats and herds of cattle. And in order to sustain their livelihood, it was vital for shepherds to keep their animals from straying, right? To protect them from thieves and wild animals, and to provide them with plentiful pastures and with still waters. It's no wonder, then, that David uses this image of a shepherd to describe God in Psalm 23, right? The one who guides, protects, provides, and cares for his people, like a shepherd for his sheep. And in our reading this morning from John chapter 10 that Annie just read for us, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. So as God's Son, Jesus claims this image of shepherd and calls himself the good shepherd. And he does this in direct contrast to the religious leaders of the day, people who knew nothing about what it meant to care for God's people. Right? Jesus' words in John 10 that Annie just read are a direct response to the events in John chapter 9 that came right before. After healing the man born blind, Jesus is confronted by the religious leaders for breaking the law and for healing on the Sabbath. The Pharisees were so caught up with rules and regulations that they were unable to see or acknowledge that a miracle had just taken place, that a guy born blind could actually see. And so Jesus responds to their hypocrisy and to their spiritual blindness by accusing them of failing to shepherd God's people, failing to provide for their safety and security. And Jesus' criticism of the Pharisees is similar to the prophet Ezekiel's criticism of the religious leaders of his day. Ezekiel writes in chapter 34 of his book, "You shepherds of Israel, should shepherds not feed the sheep? You have not strengthened the weak. You have not healed the sick. You have not bound the injured. You have not brought back the strayed. You have not sought the lost, but with force and harshness have you ruled them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. I am against the shepherds." See, where the Pharisees rejected the blind man, Jesus sought him out. Where they would keep him locked in the social stigma of blindness and sin, Jesus set him free. Where the Pharisees judged and condemned, Jesus healed and forgave and offered new life. At every turn, Jesus illustrates what it means to be a true shepherd. Now, if Jesus is the good shepherd, it stands to reason then that we are the sheep, doesn't it? As we heard in verse 7 of that opening psalm that I started with this morning, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." So this morning, as we reflect then on this relationship between shepherd and sheep and how we can live in safety and security, I want to highlight 6 things in this passage about Jesus, our good shepherd. 6 things. So number 1, Jesus, our good shepherd, knows his sheep. He knows his sheep. Verses 14 to 15, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own know me." And in verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." Now, this intimate knowledge of the shepherd for his sheep is crucial, right? We're not just lamb chops or mutton to Jesus. Now, anyone who works on a farm or owns a farm will tell you that if you raise animals for meat, you don't do the bonding thing, and you definitely don't name them. Right? One preacher writes this: "I grew up on a farm in Wales with over 400 sheep. My mother had a rule that she imposed with an iron will. You don't name an animal that's destined for the kitchen table. Now, she did this because once we had a duck called Charlie. Charlie was destined for the Christmas table. Charlie lived a long life." See, in the ancient Near East, sheep were raised on the whole for their wool rather than for their meat. And so their value was substantial. And this increased value required the shepherd to bond with the sheep, right? To take a greater interest in their health and their welfare. And similarly, as Jesus' sheep, we are of great value, no matter what anyone tells us. Right, Jesus knows us. He loves us. He calls us by name. And we see this kind of intimate knowledge throughout the gospel. Right, when Jesus called Nathanael in John chapter 1, he said, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile." And Nathanael responds, "Well, how do you know me?" And Jesus says, "I saw you under the fig tree." And the Greek word there for saw implies a depth of sight or an intimate knowledge. In other words, Jesus sees us for who we truly are. And in Luke chapter 19, we're told that Zacchaeus, who was so short, climbed a tree so that he could get a closer look at Jesus as he walked by. And when Jesus sees him, he looks up. And I mean, he doesn't know who this guy is, but he says, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down so that I can have supper at your house." And then we're told that Mary, on that first Easter morning, was so lost in disappointment and doubt and fear that she didn't recognize the risen Jesus until he spoke her name. And so, like Nathanael, Zacchaeus, Mary, and so others, so many others, Jesus knows us. And we need to listen for his voice. He calls us by name because he knows us by name. He knows us intimately because he created us. Right? He knows everything about us, our problems and struggles, our strengths and weaknesses, our joys and sorrows. He knows our thoughts before we think them, our words before we speak them, our actions before we do them. He knows our innermost thoughts and our darkest secrets. He knows everything about us. Right? Nothing we do surprises him. He knows us so well. In fact, Jesus knows us better than we know ourselves. Every day, we are bombarded by countless voices calling us to follow. And so we need to learn to distinguish Jesus' voice from all the others. Excuse me, so that we can follow him and him alone. So let me ask you, do you want to experience the better life? Do you want to live in a measure of safety and security? Well, how well do you know the shepherd's voice? Number two, Jesus, our good shepherd, leads and guides his sheep. He leads and guides his sheep. Verses 3 and 4. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. The 23rd Psalm puts it this way. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside still waters, guides me in the paths of righteousness. Now, there is a very important distinction that needs to be made here. Preacher John Stott writes this about an experience he had while touring the Holy Land. He writes, "We were on a bus driving through the wilderness of Judea, and we saw a shepherd with his sheep. Our guide said to us, 'Notice how the shepherd is out front. In the Western world, you drive your sheep from behind with dogs. However, in Israel, we guide them out front.'" Now, as he was saying this, one of the people on our tour saw the very opposite, a man with a stick in his hand driving a group of sheep from behind. Raising his hand, he said, "That's not what's happening over there." And so the guide stopped the bus, got off, spoke to the man with the stick, and returning with a grin on his face, he said, "He's not the shepherd. He's the butcher." And so again, an important distinction to make. The shepherd walks ahead of the sheep, because if there was a wolf or a ravine, the shepherd would get there first and deal with it. Now, as sheep, we often want to run ahead of a shepherd. We want to do our own thing. We want to take our own path. But as we all know only too well, this often leads us into trouble, right? We encounter wolves and we encounter ravines. Jesus is always with us. However, he's the one out in front, leading us forward, not the other way around. Right? We need to remember that we're sheep. We are not the shepherd. We need to know our place. We need to follow and not run ahead. Now, leading the sheep is about so much more than just being in charge or the one out in front. Galatians 5:16 reads, "Keep in step with the Spirit." Keep in step with the Spirit. Now, the meaning of that Greek verb here is to march in single file or to follow. See, Paul is telling us that the Holy Spirit leads us, and not just in the sense of like a pace car in the Daytona 500, but rather like the lead automotive on a train. Right? The whole point is that we're not being led in our own strength, but by the strength and power of the Holy Spirit. And as our good shepherd, Jesus leads us not only by showing us the way, but by giving us the power to get there. And thankfully, we can follow him with confidence because there is no situation that we will encounter in this life that Jesus has not already faced. So I'll ask you again, do you want to experience the better life? Do you want to live in safety and security? Well, how closely are you following the Good Shepherd? Number three, Jesus, our Good Shepherd, feeds his sheep. He feeds his sheep. Verse 9 says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Now, one of the main responsibilities of a shepherd is to find pasture for the sheep so they can eat. And similarly, Jesus feeds us with spiritual food, right? He feeds us with his word. He feeds us spiritually with his body and blood. He instructs us with a healthy diet. He nourishes us. He builds us up. In John chapter 21, it describes the risen Jesus' restoration of Peter, who denied him 3 times. And each time Jesus asks Peter, do you love me? And Peter responds in the affirmative, Jesus says, feed my sheep. This shows us just how concerned Jesus is that his sheep are spiritually fed. Right? That's why it is so important that clergy and other church leaders are able to teach and to instruct. That's why preaching and Christian education and Bible studies and life groups are so important. Right? They help to ensure that the sheep are not only being fed regularly so that they can mature and grow, but that they're not being fed with spiritual junk food. Right? All of the stuff that we get led into our mind. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with junk food every once in a while, right? I don't think there's anything better than a bag of potato chips, as you know, in front of the TV. But if all I ever ate was potato chips, right, I'd be in big trouble. Right? Just as we need a balanced diet to be physically healthy, we need to ensure that we're feeding on God's word regularly if we want to be spiritually healthy. And think about it. Jesus feeds us with his word, with the Bible, 66 books, 1,189 chapters, 31,102 verses, and almost 760,000 words. Right, that are all able to make us complete in him. So often my kids will stand at the fridge door with it open saying there's nothing to eat. Now we may be able to do that about physical food, but we cannot say that about spiritual food. There is always something to eat. So let me ask you, do you want to experience the better life? Do you want to live in safety and security? What spiritual food are you eating? Number 4. Jesus, our good shepherd, guards and protects his sheep. Verses 12 to 13. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. Right? Unlike the hired hand who runs at the first sign of trouble to protect himself, Jesus, our good shepherd, will never run, but promises to guard and protect us. As we read in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. And as Jesus says in Matthew 28:20, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Right? The shepherd walks ahead of the sheep, not just to lead them, but also to protect them, using three tools. Number one, a sling. Now, this sling wasn't just used, you know, to defend the sheep against any attacker, but it was also used to keep them from wandering. Right? Sometimes a sheep would follow a patch of grass and wander away from the flock. And instead of running after it, the shepherd would pick up a rock and put it in its sling and just shoot it ahead of the sheep as a warning for the sheep to stop and to turn around. Has God ever done something like that for you? Right? You're wandering away, following your own path, and God sends a rock, so to speak, ahead of you to warn you. Right? Maybe he sent a particular person into your life, or a scripture reference that spoke to you. Right? Maybe it was a sermon or some other experience that caused you to stop and to turn back. I mean, God does this, I think, all the time, sending us little messages, telling us to wake up, to turn around, to come back, to be careful. Number two, a shepherd had a rod or a short club with a spike at the end that was used to defend the sheep against attack. And similarly, Jesus, our good shepherd, is our rod. He's our protection, our strong rock, our fortress and deliverer. Right? There's nothing that can come into our lives that Jesus cannot handle, because he's greater than all of our trials and challenges. Jesus is bigger than anything that this world can throw at us. As we read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And finally, a shepherd had a staff or a crook. Remember, Bishop Charlie has one of these when he comes to visit us. At night, the shepherd would hold that staff low as the sheep entered the sheepfold to slow them down. And as they passed by, he'd check them over for any injuries that might have occurred during the day. And then he would tend to them so that the sheep would remain healthy and strong. And you know, Jesus does the same for us, right? Not only does he guide us and protect us from wolves in sheep's clothing, but every moment of our lives, he's checking us over. He's taking note of our hurt and our pain so that he can bring healing and restoration and wholeness. So I'm going to ask you again, do you want to experience the better life? Do you want to live in safety and security? Do you know the protection of the Good Shepherd? Number five, Jesus, our Good Shepherd, saves his sheep. He saves his sheep. Now, Jesus refers to this a number of times in our reading this morning. In verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And in verse 15, he says, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He repeats it again in verses 17 and 18. He lays down his life for the sheep. Now, there are two parts to what Jesus is saying here. To understand the first part, we need to go to the end of the passage and read verse 29. Verse 29 reads, my Father who has given them to me. My Father who has given them to me. In other words, before Jesus laid down his life for his sheep, he received those sheep in covenant or in trust from the Father. And we see this in John 17:6 when Jesus prays, I have made your name known to those who you gave me from this world. They were yours, and you gave them to me. Right? What Jesus does in his ministry and ultimately on the cross has its beginning before time, in the covenant between Father and Son. And this leads to the second part, Jesus laying down his life for the sheep. Now, this idea of laying down is similar to the language of laying aside that we see when Jesus laid aside his garments in John 13 to wash the disciples' feet. That act of service, of foot washing, foreshadows how, as the suffering servant, Jesus would lay down his life on the cross. Right, through his death, Jesus shed his own blood on behalf of the sheep to redeem them, to purchase them, and to mark them as his own forever. Right, this is what we're going to do in a few moments with Jackson. We are going to mark him as Christ's own forever through baptism. Now, it took a great deal, right? It took his very life for the good shepherd to purchase the sheep and to call them his own. And following Jesus means trusting him and him alone for our salvation, right? To receive it solely as an unmerited gift of God's mercy, God's love and grace. So do you want to experience the better life? Do you want to live in safety and security? Do you fully appreciate what Jesus has done for you on the cross? And finally, take a sigh of relief. Finally, number 6, Jesus, our good shepherd, actively seeks his sheep. He actively seeks his sheep. Verse 16 reads, "I have other sheep that are not in this fold, and I must bring them also." Right? This verse is evangelistic. It's missionary in nature. Right? Jesus didn't just come for a few believers in Jerusalem. He came for believers in Athens and Rome and Cairo and Baghdad. He came for believers in Europe and the USA and Canada. He came for believers in Kingston, in Gatineau, in Montreal. He came for believers on all continents and islands, from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. Right? This is the heart of Jesus. He seeks out the lost. He longs to gather them to himself and welcome them into his sheepfold. And as his followers, we need to have the same heart as Jesus when it comes to evangelism, to sharing our faith. We need to have the same passion and desire for those who do not know God as he's revealed in through his son Jesus, right? Our family, our friends, our neighbors. Because this is what church is all about. But this is what we are all about. As Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them, and entrusting this message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Right? That's our task as believers. We do this in our daily lives, at least we're called to. In verse 9, Jesus says, "I am the door," or some translations say the gate. "If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and go in and go out and find pasture." Despite what religious relativism would have us believe, all paths do not lead to God, at least as he's revealed in and through Jesus. Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only truth, and Jesus is the only life. And no one comes to God the Father except through him. This is true for us who know him, and this is true for those who do not yet know him. However, the good news is, as Jesus affirms at the end of this chapter, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them and they know me. I will give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." Right? That's what knowing Jesus means. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Right? I can just picture Jesus coming before his Father on the last day and opening his hands and saying, "Look what I got." Right? Picture yourself in those hands. Do you want to experience the better life? Do you want to live in safety and security? How passionate are you about sharing your faith? About sharing the good news? Despite all of the uncertainties of life, we can live in safety and security because Jesus is our good shepherd. Right? A shepherd who is noble, who possesses all power, all dominion, all authority, and who is worthy of our devotion and praise. And so our reading this morning calls us to a point of decision. Will I recognize and accept who Jesus is? Will I come to him, turn to him, submit to him, and follow him? Or to put it another way, who or what drives me? Right? What gets me out of bed in the morning? What fuels my priorities, my decisions, and my actions? Right? Regardless of who or what it is, the things of this world that often drive us can be unrelenting and oppressive. They can fail to produce what they promise and ultimately lead to dissatisfaction and sometimes even destruction. And so instead of asking what drives me, we need to ask who leads me? Who do I follow? Who's my shepherd? Jesus, the good shepherd, cares for his sheep. He laid down his life as a sacrifice in our place. He goes before us and gives us guidance and protection and provision and peace. He is the only way to good pasture. He is the only way to the better life. So the question for you today is, will you follow the good shepherd? Will you hear his voice and let him lead you? Amen.